when you're dealing with symphonic conductors, I'm guessing that you have to get a measure of what their experience is with working with the human voice. What's that process when you come to somebody who's got a more limited experience of working in choral music than, say, Yannick has?
I think it has to do with the training. So the training has to be so innate that the singer is able to respond to whatever the person in front of them is asking for. Young singers, I mean, our singers are, 18 to 25 years old for the most part. They really must be steeped in that, in the technique of singing, so that their voices are able to respond to whoever's in front of them. Because one of the things that we study in conducting is how an individual's personality, their gesture, their motion make a huge difference in the sound of an ensemble. Just their presence makes a difference in the sound. And so if someone is asking them to do something that is not vocal, that is not congruent with their training, then they must rely on what they know from their own technique. Someone like Yannick, who stands in front of the choir, his presence already enhances that sense of vocalism. And so the singers are able to respond very quickly to, with him not even having to say anything, just how he is, how he uses his gesture, when he knows to ask the choir for more, and when he knows them to take it easy, that balance. Because the human voice is a fragile thing. I mean, it's flesh and blood. And so it takes that understanding.
Well, there is that old joke about people liking the human voice because it's the instrument that most evokes the human voice. But that notwithstanding, instrumental or symphonic conductors, do they realize to what extent the human voice is more flexible, say, than a group of 100 instruments, that it can turn, it can move a lot faster, that as an organism, it can react faster to smaller gestures? That is the case, right?
It can be. I find that most orchestral conductors have an innate sense of vocalism, because so much of the music, whether it's for the violin or the horn, is in essence so vocal in itself. So what I find is that is something that conductors all over tend to have in common. And I think more so maybe today than ever. I think that because so many people are cross-pollinating all the time, I think that the vocal style often comes into the forefront.
Let's talk about the St. Matthew Passion, a glorious work, one of the great works in the repertoire. What makes it great?
What makes it great is the incredible balance of architecture and spirituality, that they come together. It's a narrative, but unlike Handel, it's a narrative that's not just about the dramatic, but it's about the perfection of the music.
Everything happens. Everything feels like it should happen when it happens.
Yes. There is, in a divine nature, we can look at the golden mean of a most beautiful piece of art, and we can look at that in the St. Matthew Passion as well. Ah. Finding that sense, that great sense of proportion. And, proportion and study of the golden mean, or that the timing of things, it's not just emotional, it also is scientific. And so Bach just innately knows when the time is for the drama. One of the hallmarks of the St. Matthew Passion is how Bach forces you to think. There will be action that will happen in the drama, and then all of a sudden he'll ask you to reflect. He'll take a chorale and ask for the choir to reflect on what has just happened, or to comment. Or, we can have, Erbarmedich, this most amazing piece, asking us again to reflect on our sin or to reflect on the drama that's gone forth. And with any minor composer, this would completely take all the steam out of the overall narrative. And with Bach, it just deepens it.
Bach clearly had deep religious convictions. There are composers working today who write ecclesiastical music who don't necessarily believe. On the flip side of that, is it necessary for all of the singers who are singing this to be true believers? Not in the music, but in God.
No, I don't think so at all, because I think art transcends that. It transcends religion. I mean, I think we can look at great religious art, but I think true spirituality is the thing that makes it work. And I think it is important for the singers to approach this with a sense of spirituality, but I think it transcends the fact of whether they are, you know, religious or not.
So an agnostic can be quite happy in the third row of your choir.
Absolutely, yes. They would even be happy opening this brilliant score and looking at physically the score on the page. I mean, it does, in so many ways. It's more than just a narrative. It is a complete experience of your senses, of drama, of psychology, looking inward to yourself.
And when you're introducing this piece to somebody who hasn't sang it before, how do you talk about it?
I talk about it being a story. You know, there are so many times in the piece, if you stand back, you could get lost in it because of the complexity. And I think it's important, you know, and so if I'm introducing it to someone, to really talk about the narrative of how it goes. And to explain, I mean, basically to an audience that different characters will occur, even though the role of Jesus and the evangelist will always be sung by these people. The chorus and the orchestras, they all take on different characters and comment about it. So it's important, I think, also to keep the plot and the narrator, who is presenting the narrator, I think is important to understanding the St. Matthew Passion.
So it is important to have some foreknowledge of this piece before going to hear it, you think?
Yes, I definitely think that is important.
It's not always the case.
Yes. Well, I think also just because of the length of the piece. I mean, this is something that in our society today we're not used to doing, concentrating on something for this long a period of time. And I think that the more that someone comes to it knowing the story, knowing the arc of the piece, what's going to happen in part one, what's going to happen in part two, the more they'll enjoy it.
Just a final question. You've been doing this for many years. You've conducted this in front of many different choirs. How has it changed in your hands as you've grown more experienced?
I think it's like all the great music that I keep coming back to. It is the pieces like this that I feel so inferior almost every time I come to it, because I'm so different. I'm a different person. My life experience, you know, the older I get has changed me, and it changes the way that I look at it. So I may read the exact same text now as when I was 20 years old, and I didn't even know to think about those things when I was 20 years old, and now I do. So there's such a different perspective, and with great art, every time that I come to it, I get a different experience. So preparing the St. Matthew Passion each time that I do it or conduct it is almost like a new piece every time. I become more familiar with it, but I also become less, because I know to think about it in a different way.
And you start to know what you don't know.
Yes.
And then having experienced that almost, well, it's not a road to Damascus exactly, but having experienced new things in a piece like the St. Matthew Passion, do you need to verbally express that to, say, when you hand it off to Yannick, or will the way the singers have been prepared say everything you need to say?
It definitely happens in the preparation. That's something I try to teach young conductors all the time, is that the depth of how you understand the score happens before you go into rehearsal, because everything that you do in rehearsal is influenced by that. You don't teach it and then all of a sudden try to absorb the significance of it. That has to start before you step to the podium. And so I hope that comes out in the music. And that's one of the reasons I love working with Yannick, because I feel like when the choir is to that point and he comes and is with us, then his own understanding of that allows the music to immediately go to a different level, you know, to deepen in his own image of what he wants.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.